It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
3, 2, 1.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Welcome in, everybody.
Vern Lundquist joins me.
Hall of Famer.
Of the
Jim Calhoun, NASCAR icon Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kirk Herbstreit is on the phone.
Hope you enjoyed that sick intro video.
Oh, he's so handsome. What's his name?
I'm your host, Aaron Torres. Let me say this. I think we got ourselves a really fun Sunday night edition of the show. You know, and it's funny, right? Is because usually this time of year, we're starting to run out of stuff to talk about. We don't really talk about the NBA on this show. We certainly don't talk Major League Baseball, but the news, it keeps on coming. And here is what we are going to talk about today. We're actually going to do a little bit of football. Okay. So we talk football on this show, even though all of March and April has been basketball. Just want to share some quick thoughts on the NFL draft. It is complete. All of you watched. All of you love the NFL. Just want to talk a little bit about Michael Penix. Talk a little bit about whiny Kirk Cousins. What is he doing out there? Little Caleb Williams, etc. Then from there, we will dive back into all of the college hoops that you need to know from the last 36 to 72 hours as Kentucky has added not one, but two players, including Lamont Butler. We talked about him on Thursday's show. It moved quick. So we'll talk about Kentucky's latest moves and also the moves that could be coming up here in the coming days. Liam McNeely, of course, of the McDonald's All-American, he committed to UConn over the course of this weekend. And oh, by the way, just moments ago, North Carolina picked up a big commitment from a kid by the name of Cade Tyson. So we are going to break it all down. A little football, a little basketball. Just drop something. So give me 1/2 second as I pick it up here. Okay. All right. Just drop something. It is back. I am back. And by the way, before we get started, a couple very quick announcements. One, first of all, if you're not subscribed to YouTube, please make sure to do so. Stated goal, I said, can we get to 40,000 subscribers by the end of the college hoops recruiting cycle, the spring cycle? I think we're about to. We're at 39.4. I think we can get to 40,000 by the end of April. So if you're not subscribed, make sure to do so. Turn on the notifications so you know when we're going live on YouTube. Also, if you're not subscribed on Apple or Spotify, make sure to do that. Leave a rating and review there. Helps us move up those charts. And finally, I mentioned it on the last show. I will mention it again. I am busting the chops of my t-shirt guy to get you guys your shirts. As I've told several of you, those Hope and Pope shirts, the order greatly exceeded our initial order, our initial expectation. So pressuring him to get that done, hoping to have the shirts in the mail early this week. I will be on the phone with him after this show, trying to see what his deal is. But the hope is to get the shirts out to you early this week. And of course, oh, by the way, it's worth noting and worth remembering, when the shirts go out, you will get an email with a confirmation. And of course, more importantly, the tracking information. If you have any questions, you can always hit me up, Aaron Torres, podcastquestions@gmail.com, or on social media, Aaron_Torres, Aaron Torres Pod on Instagram. With that said, there is no more time to waste. It's Sunday evening, and let's go ahead and get to the topic of the day. So the topic of the day, listen, I think we could go so heavy on this college hoop stuff, and we've been doing it time after time after time over the course of March and April. But listen, the NFL draft just finished. I just want to share a couple thoughts. for people who are new to this channel, new to this pod, we do a ton of college football on this show. Like everybody else, I love the NFL. I'm watching football. And so I just want to share a couple thoughts that I had from this weekend before we get back into the portal news, portal cycle, this and that from the college hoops. But let's go ahead and dive in. NFL draft is done. I loved it. I know you loved it. Just a couple quick thoughts from the weekend. First of all, let me go ahead and give the NFL credit for this, okay? So one thing that we do on this show, one thing that I do, I will never, ever, ever, ever not acknowledge when I get something wrong, okay? We do a segment on this show most weeks. We haven't done it in a while, but most weeks called Where Aaron Was Right, Where Aaron Was Wrong, kind of hitting on my best and worst takes of the given week or month or year. And I got to say this, when the NFL first decided to move the draft from city to city, region to region, I hated it. I don't know if I'm a guy that's a traditionalist or whatever, but I liked Radio City Music Hall. I liked the vibe. I liked Jets fans. And now that we're about 4, 5, 6 years removed from that era, I got to take the most monstrous of all L's possible because I love the outdoor vibe energy of this draft moving from city to city. And that was my number one takeaway. Detroit, you guys kicked you know what over the course of the weekend. I loved everything about it. Loved opening with Eminem, bringing on Aiden Hutchinson, all that good stuff. And then from there, I just think the live crowd brings so much energy, so much excitement. And this isn't anything new. A couple years ago, it was in Nashville. We all remember the legendary story about all the bachelorette parties that had no idea the draft was in town that weekend. I think the story might have been a little bit fabricated, neither here nor there. But Nashville to Philly, Vegas last year, I had a couple friends and family that were out there as fans. They said it was one of the great experiences that they've ever been part of. And then Detroit over the course of this weekend, I believe the final stats are in, and Detroit is the most attended NFL draft ever. Loved every second of it. And really quickly, I do want to give credit to the NFL because it feels like, you know, listen, we know how the media covers the NBA. Adam Silver could do no wrong. He's the greatest guy ever, blah, 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 blah. And we all know it's nonsense. We all know it's crap. We all know the NBA ratings are tanking. The NBA playoff ratings are tanking. The NBA All-Star is tanking. Nobody cares about this in-season tournament. But I bring it up because Roger Goodell, all he does is take arrows, and all he does, everything he does, basically works out. You know, adding a 17th game. People didn't like, I'll go back to, remember when we added the Thursday night games every week about 8, 9 years ago? And it was like, well, we played one or two Thursdays at the end of the year, and it was kind of cool. And then the NFL was like, no, we're going to Thursdays every single week. And people were like, it's crazy. We can't do it. It's not going to work. And now Thursday night football is a staple. They've added playoff teams. They've added the 17th game to the regular season. They've brought the draft from city to city. They've expanded internationally. They've basically taken over Christmas Day, as we've discussed on this show. They've taken over Black Friday last year. Everything they do turns to gold. But I think maybe the best decision they've ever made is to continue to expand the NFL draft. Now, on top of that, that was just kind of a first big picture takeaway. I think the big story of the weekend was Michael Penix going number 8 overall to the Atlanta Falcons in what can only be described as a true stunner, okay? But what I want to say about that decision is pretty straightforward. First off, I think there are two separate conversations about Michael Penix to the Falcons. I think there is the question about if this was the right decision for the Atlanta Falcons. But then I also think, did you see what Kirk Cousins' agent put out shortly after that decision? Because I thought that was the lamest, most loser beta move that I have ever seen. And actually, I'll be honest, it made me disrespect Kirk Cousins a little bit. So in terms of the pick itself, listen, I will readily admit there's a tweet on my timeline from Thursday where I basically said, I don't get it. You just handed Kirk Cousins $100 million in guaranteed money, and I don't really understand why the decision would be made to hand Kirk Cousins $100 million, then not only draft a quarterback in the top 10, but draft a 23, soon-to-be 24-year-old quarterback in Michael Penix. So Thursday night, I hated the move. By Friday morning, I'll be honest, I didn't really hate it, and it's for a couple reasons. First off, Kirk Cousins is 36 years old and coming off a major, major, major injury with an Achilles. And so the idea that, like, somehow this is a wasted pick because Michael Penix is not going to be used this year and he has no value to the team this year, I just don't believe that. Backup quarterback might be the most valuable position in football, because how many times have we seen a team that is on a certain trajectory completely fall apart when their quarterback gets hurt? The Jets season was over a year ago, one series in, when Aaron Rodgers suffered a season-ending injury. You know, they didn't have a backup and the season was over. Cincinnati Bengals, the season was over when Joe Burrow got hurt. So the idea that Michael Penix has no value to the team this year, I don't believe. Now, certainly we're not rooting for injury from Kirk Cousins, but I just bring it up because the idea that he has no value makes no sense to me. He may be called into action this year. But beyond that, I don't hate it, because the Falcons are the rare team that really wasn't great last year, but I would argue doesn't need a ton of help, right? By the way, why is Kirk Cousins an Atlanta Falcon? It's because, much like when Tom Brady went to Tampa, guess what? Why did Tom Brady go to Tampa? It was because they had a million young weapons for him to work with. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, he brought Antonio Brown, he brought Leonard Fournette, etc. Well, why did Kirk Cousins go to Atlanta? It's because they've used their last three first-round picks prior to this week on skill position guys. Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida. Drake London, wide receiver, USC. Bijan Robinson, running back, Texas to Atlanta. They have this skill position stuff figured out. And so you don't have pressing needs. Do you want the defense to be better? Sure, but Raheem Morris is a defensive head coach. And so forgive me that I don't think it's terrible. Lastly, let me add this. I saw this. I thought it was an interesting point. Is, if you want to argue the pick was wasted, okay. But two other additional thoughts on it. The first is that, in my opinion, a couple things. One, and I saw Raheem Morris make this argument, is that we believe in Kirk Cousins. We would not have given him $100 million if we didn't. And so we believe in him so much, as a matter of fact, that if he's as good as we think over the next 2 to 3 years, we're never going to be in position to take a guy as good as Michael Penix is ever again. And so to me, I have no fundamental issue with it. He's 36 years old. And if he is good in year 36, 37, maybe even 38, then all of a sudden you have a 27-year-old Michael Penix chomping at the bit to get out there and have the opportunity to play. So I don't hate the pick. I'm not mad. Oh, by the way, I was doing radio on Sunday morning with Kerry Rhodes, former NFL player. He brought up the great point. If Kirk Cousins is as good as everybody thinks, you can always use Michael Penix as a trade chip. You know there's going to be two or three teams that we don't expect to need a quarterback a year from now that will need a quarterback. So I don't hate the pick. I don't hate Michael Penix. I don't think it was as bad in hindsight as maybe I thought in real time. That's the first big takeaway from the draft. At the same time, though, let me also say this. While I don't hate the decision of the Atlanta Falcons, you know what I do hate? I hate Kirk Cousins whining like a little baby through his agent on Thursday night about this decision, okay? And so for people who missed it, so it was crazy. If you listen to Thursday night show into Friday, I had family over this weekend, so I couldn't sit there and like dive into the draft. But I saw the Penix thing. I thought it was weird. And I only bring it up to very simply say that in real time, I thought it was weird. But you know what else I thought was weird? A few minutes after the pick happens, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you start to see all the NFL insiders, Garofolo, Diana Rossini, this guy, that girl, whatever, all of them suddenly, magically, have a statement from Kirk Cousins' agent about Michael Penix being drafted. Producer Matt, do you have the Garofolo tweet available? If not, I could grab it. This is the statement via Kirk Cousins' agent to Mike Garofolo, and was basically sent to every major newsbreaker in the NFL. This is what Kirk Cousins' agent said about the decision to draft Michael Penix. Yes, it was a big surprise. We had no idea this was coming. The truth is, the whole league had no idea this was coming. We got no heads up. Kirk got a call from the Falcons when they were on the clock. That was the first we heard. It never came up in any conversation. Well, first off, you're a bold-faced liar because you said that you got no notification. Then you said you got called when they were on the clock. So that's one. But two, let me just say, I think this is the whiniest, loseriest, beta-ist like behavior that I have ever seen from a professional athlete, okay? And I don't want to do the whole, like, just shut up and dribble. But Kirk Cousins, just shut up and focus on the job. Because the bottom line is a couple things. One, first of all, Kirk Cousins, you got paid $100 million to come play for the Atlanta Falcons, okay? $100 million guaranteed. I think it's up to $180 million if every incentive and if he plays and all that good stuff, okay? So one, you're getting $100 million whether you're the starter, the backup, the water boy, you're washing towels, whatever. With that much money, you have the inside track to the job. You are going to be the starter. You're going to be the starter as long as you're healthy. And really, realistically, we're talking 2-3 years down the road before it's even a conversation that you're not the starter of the Atlanta Falcons. So one, I don't love the whining. You got the money. You took the most money. I'm sure you could have taken less money to stay in Minnesota. You could have taken less money to go there. You chose Atlanta. But here's the other thing that kind of bothers me about this. The Atlanta, oh, by the way, what did I say a minute ago? Because there's the talk of, well, I mean, yeah, you brought in Kirk Cousins. Why aren't you, you're built to win right now. Why aren't you making a pick to help the team right now? It's because the team doesn't need much help. And oh, by the way, this is why Kirk Cousins made the decision to become an Atlanta Falcon to begin with. It's because all the talent that is already there. So I don't want to hear it. But here's the other thing I was thinking about. Let me ask you a question. And you guys can hop in the comments. Producer Matt will vet them. By the way, somebody in the comments said Jeffrey Epstein, 2024. Didn't know he was on the political tickets, but neither here nor there. I saw the comments come in early. But get in the comments. I want your thoughts on Kirk Cousins for this reason. Do the Atlanta Falcons owe Kirk Cousins anything? Because, like, I understand if this was Brett Favre 20 years ago when they took Aaron Rodgers in the first round. Brett Favre's like, I've been here forever. I should be the quarterback. Why are you taking my replacement? I get if it was Aaron Rodgers 4 or 5 years ago when they took Jordan Love. He's like, dude, I've been here forever. I'm an MVP caliber quarterback. I won you a Super Bowl. Why are you drafting my replacement? Kirk Cousins got to Atlanta 10 minutes ago. They don't owe him anything. As a matter of fact, they've already made good on their part of the deal. They gave $100 million. And the idea that he is owed some sort of heads up, I don't get it, especially as a 35, 36-year-old quarterback. If he was 28 and was brought in, it's like, okay, I get it. There's other places we could probably use this pick. But he's 36 years old. He's coming off major injury. Are they not supposed to ever, at any point, ever consider his replacement? It doesn't even make sense to me. So I want to get to a few other quick hitters. But before I did, I had to get that Kirk Cousins take off my chest. It's been bothering me all weekend. Kirk Cousins, stop whining. Stop being a baby. Suck it up. Go cash your $100 million paychecks. We don't want to hear it. Just a couple other quick thoughts before we get to some hoops, because I do really want to dive into a busy, busy, busy hoops weekend. But in addition to the Kirk Cousins stuff, in addition to Michael Penix, just a few things that I do want to talk about. First one, I'll be honest. I don't really understand all of the Caleb Williams backlash and hate. And this is one we talked about a little bit last week when we talked about the NFL draft. But like, there are guys that are taken that I don't really understand what the value is or why people think they're so good or whatever. Let me just give you some facts about Caleb Williams, okay? These are facts. Not my opinion, not my suggestion, not whatever. This is just straight facts on Caleb Williams. Do you know Caleb Williams? And I understand this year the numbers went down a little bit. Do you know what his final stats were as a member of the USC Trojans this year? You know Caleb Williams accounted for 41 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions this season? Now, admittedly, the 41 touchdowns, 30 passing, 11 rushing. Those 30 passing touchdowns were down from 42 a year ago when he won the Heisman. But this guy accounted for 41 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Everyone's saying, oh, he's overrated. He's not that good, whatever. No, I think he's pretty awesome. I think it's also worth noting. He did it without another first-round pick, certainly this year, on the entire team. Two best receivers, Taj Washington, 7th-round pick. Brendan Rice, 7th-round pick. Now, I'm not sitting here and trying to demean a Jaden Daniels, right? But everybody loves Jaden Daniels. He had 2 first-round receivers just this year, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. Now, I know what you're going to say. Part of the reason Jaden Daniels became a first-round pick was because he had 2 first-round wide receivers. And maybe he helped them become first-round wide receivers. It doesn't change the fact that Jaden Daniels had plenty of more talent around him. Also doesn't change the fact the O-line was terrible for USC, and USC statistically had the worst defense of any power conference team, okay? Let's just look at some of the scores from the USC games this year, okay? USC lost to Oregon, 36-27. That was not terrible. When I'm saying that your defense giving up 36 points isn't terrible, it's actually terrible. Gave up 52 to Washington. Gave up 48 to Notre Dame. Gave up 34 to Utah with a third-string quarterback, okay? By the way, even in the wins, gave up 41 to Arizona, gave up 41 to Colorado. And so you sit there and you're like, what is this guy supposed to do? How many points is this guy supposed to have to score? You know, it's like the old Tom Brady, Giselle Bundchen, my husband can't throw and catch the ball. Well, it's the same with Caleb Williams. He can't throw and catch and tackle and play defense. That defense was abysmal. And so I think Caleb Williams is going to be really good. The good news is I at least respect the Chicago Bears trying to help him out. They drafted the wide receiver Adunze. They added DJ. They've added DJ Moore last year. They added from the Chargers this year. Why am I blanking on Keenan Allen from the Chargers? So I respect Caleb Williams. I think he's getting the raw end of the stick on this whole situation with the draft. Drake May, I do worry about. Listen, my take on this is pretty much everybody else's take. You know, I think of all 6 quarterbacks, you can argue that of the 6 that were taken in the top 12, 5 of them are going to semi-advantageous situations. Caleb Williams, we just talked about, they brought in a ton of weapons, Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. Number 2, Jaden Daniels, Cliff Kingsbury's his OC. You can criticize Cliff Kingsbury. He's pretty good when he's just the play caller, probably not a great head coach. Michael Penix is going to be able to sit for a while. J.J. McCarthy is going to the Minnesota Vikings with Justin Jefferson. And, of course, finally, Bo Nix is going to a Hall of Fame Super Bowl-winning coach in Sean Payton. So I just bring it up. There's one name I didn't mention, Drake May, who probably out of all the quarterbacks of those top 6 needs the most work. And I just worry about him going to a defensive culture, the Patriots way. I know Belichick's gone. Gerard Mayo, though, is a defensive head coach. That's one that I could see getting ugly. And oh, by the way, he has no weapons either, which doesn't help. Like I said, J.J. McCarthy has Justin Jefferson. You know, Bo Nix at least has an offensive head coach. Jaden Daniels has an offensive head coach. Caleb Williams has plenty of weapons. I worry about Drake May. A couple other things. Love the Jets taking an offensive lineman. Listen, I thought the Jets had kind of a big boy adult draft. Would have been easy for them to take Brock Bowers when he was available, make Aaron Rodgers happy, get him another weapon. They need help along the O-line. I know they addressed it in free agency, but you can never have too many big bodies up front. You got to protect Aaron Rodgers. And I'll tell you, at some point, you know, we'll talk football more in depth. But you look at the Jets now. I think if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, they're all of a sudden interesting. The Buffalo Bills obviously lost Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, although I did like the Bills taking Keon Coleman, from Florida State. Keon Coleman had an amazing quote about, you know, jackets and weather and this and that in Buffalo. If you missed it, go check it out. But Buffalo lost a ton off last year's team. The Dolphins, they played Tua, they paid Tua, they lost a ton. The Patriots are a mess. I think the Jets have a chance to be pretty good. Love that they drafted the offensive lineman. Also, by the way, love that they drafted Jordan Travis as a potential backup to Aaron Rodgers. Again, we just talked about it with Penix and Kirk Cousins. You have a quarterback in his late 30s coming off a major Achilles injury. I don't think there's any problem. Even if the Achilles is fine, I think it's hard to imagine all of these guys staying healthy all year. So I loved it. And then lastly, let me say this. You know who I thought was the breakout star of the 2024 NFL draft? Nick freaking Saban was really good. Did you guys and girls catch Nick Saban on the broadcast? Nick Saban, in my opinion, was unbelievable, okay? What I love is, and I get it, right? He coached against all these guys. He coached some of these guys, and he evaluated a lot of them coming out of high school. And I know that the further he gets away from football, the less, you know, personalized information that he's going to have on these guys. But I was watching the Kuiper, you know, ESPN broadcast. And then all of a sudden I looked over and I was like, you know what? Let me see the Saban cast. And I was like, this is incredible. Saban was awesome. Loved everything about it. Thought he gave insight that nobody else could. Nick Saban, the breakout star of the 2024 NFL draft. All right, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. And when we come back, we are going to talk college hoops. We're going to get back into the transfer portal. By the way, it felt good just to talk a little football. We're going to eventually have to transition back into football. But right now, it is still roster building season in college hoops. Talk about a busy weekend at Kentucky, Liam McNeely to UConn, Cade Tyson in North Carolina. Quick break. Be right back. Before we do, many of you ask me all the time, Torres, what can I do to help support the show? You give me hours and hours and hours of content every single week. What can I do to help you? Well, I'll tell you what. Do me a quick favor. Check out the Aaron Torres Media merchandise store for all of your team-specific shirts, hats, and more, all available at aarontorresonline.com/merchandise. A lot of you wondering, Torres, what can I get in that merch store? Well, first of all, we got our brand new Hope and Pope Kentucky basketball t-shirts. That's right. Mark Pope has arrived. He is here to save the day. Get your Hope and Pope t-shirts there. Also, Arkansas fans, the Big Pig Invasion is here. You can get your tees there. Basketball School Alabama shirts. Mora Hurley 2024 UConn shirts for your tailgates at Rentschler Field, your games at the XL Center or Gamble. And oh, by the way, your Mike Effin Woodson gear for Indiana. If you love football, we got you covered too. We got more Dion shirts and hats than we even know what to do with. The freeze warning has hit the plains. Auburn fans, grab your freeze warning tees now. And of course, our new era, new rules shirt applies to Nebraska football and its incredible fan base. We have more coming for the fall, plenty in stock right now. So make sure to check out the Aaron Torres Media merch store at aarontorresonline.com/merchandise. And you can always hit me up with any questions, aarontorrespodcastquestions@gmail.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, everybody. I'm back. Good to be back. So, do want to go ahead and switch gears. Do want to go ahead and talk a lot of college hoops. Listen, we do talk a lot of football on this show, but obviously the last month it has been insanity in terms of all of the information coming fast and furious in the transfer portal, college hoops, everything you need to know. Where I want to start, and this segment may be outdated really quick, okay? But on this weekend, over the last 3 days, we're live here at 6:33 Eastern time on a Sunday night. In the last 72 hours, Kentucky has 48 hours, I guess. Kentucky has picked up not one, but two commitments, but worth noting. One of their lead assistants, Cody Feger, who came with Mark Pope from BYU to Kentucky. He just put out the GIF that insinuates that more good news is coming for Kentucky. So as of right now, they add two more players. They're up to five scholarship guys. They got enough to play 5-on-5. I want to break it all down. And then obviously, if we get a piece of news, I will break that down as well. But let's go ahead and start with the big news of the weekend. First of all, you know, you talk about a big piece of news that broke basically right after we got off air on Thursday. I guess it was really Friday. But Lamont Butler, you talk about, listen, I think this is the most impressive thing that Mark Pope has done as the head coach at Kentucky so far. Let me fully explain why. Lamont Butler enters the portal on Wednesday and is a Kentucky Wildcat by midday Friday. So if you listen to this show, first of all, we talked about Lamont a lot on Thursday night's show. But Lamont is a kid. He's from Riverside, California, about an hour from where I live. I've told the story. You know, first time I saw him, he was 14 years old, playing at Riverside Poly, same high school as Reggie Miller. But I bring it up because I'm going to give you some information on Lamont, and, you know, it's cool. It's nothing super crazy. But he has a very tight circle, okay? And it's not a million agents and friends and family and this and that. He's got two great parents. Shout out Lamont Sr., you know, and one basketball person in his circle, and that's the whole circle. There aren't 35 people. You don't have to get to 20 people to get through to him. And so I bring it up, and why this is relevant to Kentucky is for a simple reason. It was because the night he entered the portal, somebody close to him, not his parents, but they reached out to me and we kind of just talked. They said, "Hey, dude, Lamont's going in the portal." And we just kind of talked about all the different options for him going forward. And I bring it up for this very simple reason. There are so many times in this modern era of college hoops, okay, and college football, where a kid enters the portal and he kind of knows where he's going to go. If we're being honest, he's been tampered with probably for months. And he'll enter the portal and he'll say all the right things and it's wide open and he'll put out his lists and he'll do this and he'll do that. That was not Lamont Butler. When I talked to his people on Wednesday night, they had no idea where they were going. As a matter of fact, Lamont really struggled even with the decision to put his name in the portal. He is a San Diego legend, okay? For people who don't remember, he hit the buzzer beater to send San Diego State to the championship game. He is a true NIL darling, not a collective darling, an NIL darling where everywhere he went in the city, signings, autograph sessions, appearances, this, that, the other thing. And so he really struggled with the idea of, if I enter the portal, is it going to impact my legacy here? I think I'm either going to come back to college or enter the NBA draft. As a matter of fact, I could be wrong, but I believe the head coach of San Diego State, Brian Dutcher, actually said on the record at some point after the season, if Lamont plays college basketball, it's going to be at San Diego State next year. But I bring it all up because he did not enter the portal thinking, I'm going to Duke, I'm going to Kentucky, I'm going to Michigan, I'm going to Indiana. It was, am I even going to enter the portal? And then when he did, he was almost behind the eight ball because so many teams, Indiana, Houston, whatever, have taken guards and they're not even available to, you know, they don't even have a spot for him. So I bring it up because he was truly entering the portal, not knowing what he's going to do. And that's where I give Mark Pope so much credit. Okay. Because clearly when he entered the portal, Kentucky 100% prioritized him. Okay. That's not my opinion. That is not something I think, and it's not even something that you need to be an insider in college basketball to know. Why do I say it? It's because let's just use our deductive reasoning. Let's use our brains. You know, it's like that old line from A League of Their Own. Use your head. That's that lump 3 feet above your, you know what. So let's use our heads. Let's use that lump 3 feet above your A double apostrophe, okay? Like, think about how we know that Lamont Butler was a priority for Kentucky. He enters the portal on Wednesday night, has had no contact with Kentucky prior to that. By Friday morning, the entire staff got on a plane to fly across country to meet with him and his family. Do you understand that if you are not a priority to a coaching staff, they're not flying across country? And even when you are a priority, you know what ends up happening pretty often? What ends up happening generally is that they send an assistant. They may even send the head coach. For them to send the entire coaching staff, it means that they think the world of you. It means that they want you. And I give credit to Lamont. I don't know all the details of what happened. By the way, I should mention, it was also the busiest weekend of Kentucky's offseason. They had like five kids on campus visiting. And so when the whole coaching staff flies across country on one day's notice, when they're bringing in three, four, five kids for visits, you know that this kid is a priority. What I will also do, let me give Lamont Butler a little bit of credit here, okay? Because Lamont, you know, he made the decision pretty quickly. And to me and Kentucky fans, you're going to love this. You know what this was? This was a professional recruitment. And what do I mean by that, okay? When a player in the NBA is a free agent or the NFL, you don't go, you know, unless you're LeBron James, you don't go visit, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks if they want to sign you. You don't visit the Indiana Pacers, the Toronto Raptors. You sit down in a room as men and as basketball people and say, this is how we're going to use you. This is what we're going to do. This is the position we're going to put you in. And this is how we're going to help you, in the case of college, get to the next level. And so after all the years, Kentucky fans, you complained, you want veterans, you want adults, you want grown men. You got one, because Lamont looked at it all. He said, this is the role that I want. This is the place that I want. This is the stage that I want. Obviously, I'm sure NIL was discussed at some point, but this wasn't about who has the biggest bag. It wasn't about, I got to come see the facilities and I got to tour and I got to do this. And I got, no, no. It was, I'm coming here and I'm coming here right now. I don't need to take more visits or even more meetings. I could tell you for a fact, there was at least one more school that was in Vegas on Friday ready to meet with them. And they had to tell that school, and I won't name the school, but they basically had to tell the school, like, we love you guys. We appreciate you coming out. Meetings are over. Meetings are canceled. This decision has been made. And so looking ahead, what does this kid mean for Kentucky? What it means, pretty straight up, I'm telling you right now, don't just take my word for it. Lamont Butler is coming to be the starting point guard for Kentucky basketball. He's coming to be the face of Kentucky basketball. He's coming to be the leader of Kentucky basketball in the locker room, in the community, in the this, in the that. And I think he's going to be great. Now, I know what a lot of you are going to say. Well, Torres, he only averaged 9 points per game last year at San Diego State. Like, and I get it. I do. What I would tell you is pretty straightforward, okay? The San Diego State system, I did a little bit of a reaction video on Friday. The San Diego State system is not built for guys to go for 24 and 11, okay? It's just not. And so there are so many guys that have the capability of doing more, but they're a team that plays 8, 9, 10, 11 guys. Nobody's playing 36 minutes a game. This year, Jaden Ledee did because they had no depth in the front court, but that's a system where nobody's putting up monster stats. And so I solely bring it up to very simply say, just go back and look at Keyshawn Johnson last year who played at Arizona. Because I remember getting in this argument with Kentucky fans a year ago. Kentucky fans are like, oh, Keyshawn Johnson's coming to be a backup, coming to come off the bench. You know, he did it at San Diego State. He'll do it here. No. Keyshawn Johnson was going somewhere to be a starter after being a backup for 4 years at San Diego State. And he went to Arizona and he played like an All-American for a good chunk of the year. And he was all Pac-12 this year, averaged 12 and a half points per game after averaging 7 at San Diego State. Lamont's the same way. He averaged 9 points, 3 assists per game. That's not going to blow you off the page. But put him in Mark Pope's system, put him with better shooting, put him in a faster pace. Oh, he's going to put up stats. Now, is he a 21-a-game guy? No, he's not, because that's not what he's going to be asked to do. It's not what he wants to do. But do I think he can be a 16-point-a-game guy, 15-point-a-game guy? And that number, that assist number goes from 3, 3.5 assists to 5, 5.5 assists when you're hitting wide-open three-point shooters? Yeah, I think you can. When you're throwing lobs to Amari Williams, the kid who committed last week? Yeah, I think you can. So credit to Mark Pope. He got this done. Lamont Butler will be your starting point guard day one, Kentucky, next year. don't, you know, I saw so much of this is like, well, I mean, San Diego State, blah, blah, and this and that. Listen, he's coming there to be the starting point guard. He turned down, remember, I put out the list on Thursday. Duke reached out. You know, Washington, whatever. A lot of schools reached out. He's not coming there to be a backup. I saw people say, oh, is he even a point guard? Yes, he's a point guard. He got his team to a Final Four 2 years ago. He got him back to a Sweet 16 this year after they lost all but one other key player. Lamont Butler is special. He'll be a fan favorite. Kentucky, you got a good one. You know who else you got? Another good one. By the way, we're waiting on potential more recruiting news as Cody Fiegler, the assistant coach, just put out a gift. So I'm just trying. I'm just trying very quickly to make sure that I haven't missed any news. But I bring it up very simply to say that even if we don't get the news during this show, in addition to Lamont Butler, Kentucky picked up a second commitment on Saturday, and that is Otega Owa, the 6'5 guard from Oklahoma. Now, Otega Owa is another one. First of all, real so 6'5, as I said, very athletic, and did hit a lot of three-pointers this year. Averaged 11 points per game, 6'5 from Jersey, averaged 11 points per game, 38% shooting from three. Now, I've been told this was coming. He was on campus last weekend visiting, and I think he basically silently committed on Thursday or Friday. I think he knew that the staff was traveling on Friday, so they waited till Saturday to announce it. But this is another really good piece for the Kentucky Wildcats. It was funny. I remember I interviewed Porter Mosier about two off seasons ago when this kid was going into his freshman year. I went back and found my notes from that call. Porter Mosier raved about that guy. 6'5", super athletic. I think the big thing to me, that shot has come around. 38% shooting from three in just 24 minutes of play. And this is the kind of guy, three-level scorer, can shoot threes, can get to the rim. Now, the free throw shooting needs to get better. Shot 64% from three. I don't know how you shoot 38% from three and 64% from the free throw line, but just another really nice piece. But you know what I like about this kid? And you know why I think he's going to be very important for Kentucky? It is because here is why I like this kid and what he means to Kentucky. It's because when I look at this kid, just think about it like this, okay? If this kid wasn't good, you know how I know he wouldn't be at Kentucky? Because you know who's played him in person and you know who knows his game better than anybody? Mark Pope. Mark Pope was at BYU last year. Where is BYU? In the Big 12. Where was Oklahoma last year? They're going to the SEC this year, but they were in the Big 12. This is a guy that played against Mark Pope earlier this year. Had a pretty good game. You know, wasn't great in those matchups, but I bring it up because Mark Pope is familiar with his game, and Mark Pope saw him in person, scouted against him, evaluated him, and said, you know what? We like him. Oh, by the way, you know who Kentucky's associate head coach is? Alvin Brooks III. Where did he come from? Baylor. So I bring it up because if Alvin Brooks likes him and if Mark Pope likes him, that means that he's good enough to play Kentucky. Congrats to Kentucky. Two big-time commits, five players total, and I like the pieces that have come in. We've talked about Amari Williams, talked about Colin Chandler, the kid who took the mission trip at BYU, who's now transferring as a third-year freshman. And we certainly know about Travis Perry, the former former Kentucky State Player of the Year. I think the only question is, what's next? Cody Fiegler is tweeting about stuff. Oh, by the way, a bunch of kids on campus. Andrew Carr, 6'8", from Wake Forest. He had some other visits lined up. I don't have any inside information as of 6:47 Eastern time. Wouldn't surprise me if he's the guy averaged 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 37% shooting from three. That's that stretch four that you need. You got Amari Williams down low, big, athletic, but he's not a super offensive player. He's more of a garbage, rebounding, energy, hustle, get your points around the rim guy. Wouldn't be surprised if it's Andrew Carr. Also, Great Osabor on campus. Great Osabor, one of the best bigs in college basketball, was the Mountain West Player of the Year. He is set to visit, I believe, this evening. I think I saw Jack Pilgrim put that out at some point. So Great Osabor on campus. Andrew Carr was on campus this week. There were a couple other guys too. You know, Davion Smith, I don't think is a factor at Kentucky anymore, the Utah point guard with Lamont Butler. But I just bring it up to say, Good stuff overall as Kentucky adds two guys.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Really quickly, want to get to two other notes from the college hoops weekend. Producer Matt, and by the way, if there is breaking news during the show on who Kentucky is so excited about, then we will go ahead and discuss it on the show. If not, we'll get to it, at a later point. Anyway, bring it up to say that. Let's get to two other pieces of news and another, can you call it a Friday news dump when it's exciting news that everybody's excited about? But on Friday, the decision that we had been waiting on for about 4 days, it became official. Liam McNeely, 6'7", guard forward, McDonald's All-American, was committed to Indiana, decommitted from Indiana about 6 weeks ago, went through the entire recruiting process, went on a visit to UConn last Monday, went on a visit to UConn last Tuesday. We were waiting for something to happen. Well, for UConn fans, it was the Rose from Titanic. It's been 84 years. But on Friday afternoon, as I was driving home from the beach a couple hours after Lamont Butler, it became official as Liam McNeely is officially a UConn Husky. How about this? The highest ranked commit of the Dan Hurley era. Now, I think Steph Castle, when he committed, was not ranked as high. I think he ended up being ranked as high by the time he graduated. But in terms of the highest rated commit, Liam McNeely is the guy. So first of all, we talked about this kid so much. I did a reaction video on Saturday morning, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. But Liam McNeely is a very good player. Thank you, producer Matt, for popping up the graphic of Liam McNeely. 6'7", as I said, played at Montverde Academy. Really, really skilled. He's certainly best known as a three-point shooter. You know, I think I've mentioned this stat a few times, but he was a kid that I believe on the EYBL circuit, the high school circuit last summer, I believe in games where they kept stats, he shot like 51% from three. So he's just automatic. There's a reason that Mark Pope wanted him, that John Calipari, really even dating back to the Kentucky days, prioritized him. When he got out of the Indiana commitment, Kentucky really prioritized him under Calipari. Arkansas prioritized him when Calipari got to Arkansas, but he officially ends up a Husky. Couple thoughts here. First of all, credit to the kid, okay? Because I think the kid really was very smart about the decision-making process. And I'm not saying he was smart because he chose the UConn Huskies, but I just think, how can you not commit when UConn wants you right now? They are offering everything at the highest level. They're obviously winning at the highest level, okay? But also, what have I said? The developmental piece of this, I don't think you can undersell. I don't think you can undersell that a kid like Alex Caravan came in as the 112th ranked player in the country, and if he stays in the draft this year, will be probably a second round pick. That Donovan Klingon came in as like the 56th ranked player in the country is going to be a lottery pick. That Jordan Hawkins came as the 50th ranked player is going to be a lottery pick. So if those guys with no pedigree, if Dan Hurley could turn you into a pro, you could turn Liam McNeely into a pro, no doubt. And you can do it in a winning system with a winning culture and win at the highest level for a fan base that's going to love you, going to adore you, all this. By the way, I also give Liam McNeely a little bit of credit. Dan Hurley, I've said it before. This is going to sound like an insult, but it isn't. Dan Hurley has been very vocal. We are not in the highest bidder game. Okay. Now I'm sure there's circumstances where that happens, But essentially, Dan Hurley, his stance on NIL has been straightforward. It has been, look, we never want to lose a kid because we're not even competitive, because we're not even in the same ballpark. But we also don't want kids choosing us just for the bag. And so you look at Liam McNeely, and my guess is if he had taken a visit to Kentucky, if he had taken a visit to Arkansas, if he had taken other visits, there would have been more money on the table. But what he's saying is UConn's going to take care of me. They're going to take care of my family. But also where I'm going to really get taken care of is at the next level. Where I'm really going to get taken care of is when I sign that second NBA contract for $150 million if I'm lucky enough to do it. But if I take the bag now, it could compromise me later. That's not a criticism of any of the other schools that were recruiting him. It's just a reality that this was probably the right decision for him at this moment. By the way, credit to Dan Hurley. Again, Dan Hurley isn't working with unlimited resources like some of these other schools. You know, he's just not. This isn't the SEC. This isn't the Big Ten. There aren't hundreds of millions of dollars of TV money pouring in. UConn ain't a poverty program, okay? But it ain't the SEC. It ain't some of the Big Ten schools. It's not some of the Big 12 schools, these huge, you know, giant, you know, Texas Tech, Houston oil money schools. Like, it's just not. And so credit Dan Hurley. Also credit Dan Hurley for getting this done without Liam McNeely taking any other visits. Listen, the longer you get away from campus, and we talked about this on Thursday's show, got a little outdated quickly because Liam McNeely committed 24 hours after Thursday's show. But the further you get away from that campus visit, the more likely it is that you are going to look for other options. And so I give Dan Hurley credit for getting it done. And now what does he bring to the UConn Huskies? Well, it's pretty straightforward. One, UConn's still trying to figure out its roster, okay? Right now, what we think we know is there's some nice returning pieces. Hassan Diarra has not announced. I have not bothered him about it. I think he'll probably be back to play point guard. Samson Johnson, the big, will be back. Alex Caraban is on the fence with the NBA. We'll see what happens with that. Terrace Reed, the transfer from Michigan, comes in, and there are a couple sophomores that are ready to break out. Solo Ball, Jalen Stewart, I think both have a chance to be really good next year. So I just bring it up because you have some really nice pieces. What I don't think you have, remember, this whole UConn era, if you will, my UConn era, to quote Taylor Swift, this whole UConn era has been built on the evolution of offense. Dan Hurley, 2 years ago, after losing to New Mexico State, said, I can't keep trying to win rock fights 64-62. So he's built the program around the same defensive intensity, the same rebounding intensity, but also being able to put the ball in the basket. And you look at next year's squad. If Alex Caraban comes back, I think he can be like a high level scorer. But other than that, I don't know that there are like dudes that can consistently get you buckets every single game, every single night. That's where Liam McNeely comes in. I haven't spoken with anyone close to him, but my guess is that is where the recruiting pitch was. You come in, you're going to have a chance to get buckets as long as you play defense, as long as you have the effort that we require of this team. So one, I think he can be a guy that as time goes on, I don't know if he's going to be like your leading scorer, especially if Caraban comes back, but can he be a guy that on any given night, if you need somebody to get 22 with six threes, yeah, I think he can do that. Also, what I love about him, though, is this. He comes from Montverde Academy. What is Montverde Academy? Number one high school basketball program in America. Played with Cooper Flagg, headed to Duke. Played with Rob Wright, headed to Baylor. Played with Derek Queen, headed to Maryland. I think Asa Newell, headed to Georgia. Four McDonald's All-Americans, like five top 30 players. And so he's also comfortable being in a system where he isn't the only star. Not a knock on players that play at their own high schools, whatever. But I think he is going to be okay because I know Dan Hurley wouldn't have taken the commitment if he wasn't okay. But I think he's going to be okay with the idea that he's not getting 30 every single night or he's getting 22 shots every single night. So Liam McNeely commits. We'll see what happens next with UConn. UConn still has a lot of moving parts, like a lot of teams. As I just said, Hassan Diarra, as I'm recording, has not made an official announcement. I would expect one this week. Alex Caraban is going to go through the draft process. I think he'll be back. And I still think even with Liam McNeely, you're probably taking one more kid out of the portal. Kobe Brea visited this weekend. The report right as I got off air here is right as I got on air here is that he will now visit Kentucky. By the way, shout out to Torres, because I did a video last week talking about all the best players and where I thought they could end up. And I said I thought it would end up being a Kentucky-UConn showdown. And I had a bunch of people, Kentucky's not even in the mix. What are you talking about? It's like, no, I think they are. They're going to get a visit from him. I think Kobe Bray is the priority. Aiden Mahaney was also on campus. Feels like we could get a couple Kentucky-UConn back and forth recruitments, because Aiden Mahaney visited UConn and Kentucky. Kobe Brea, it sounds like, is set to visit Kentucky. So keep an eye on all that. One other note from the world of college hoops. It's just roster building season, baby. It's just roster building season. There was one note from right before we got on air that I do want to discuss quickly. That was Kate Tyson, one of the best players left in the transfer portal, 6'8 forward from Belmont. Right before we got on air, he committed to the North Carolina Tar Heels. Credit to Hubert Davis. Credit to him for getting it done. By the way, as you can see on the bottom ticker, if you are not following our CBB Transfers Twitter page, make sure to do so at CBB Transfers. Also, CBB Transfers on Instagram. We just started the account about a week ago. Appreciate you following there if you're not already. So, Kate Tyson, who is he? As I said, forward, 6'8", played the last 2 years at Belmont. Okay. First off, very high priority kid. Some of these mid-major kids come in, big stats. How good are they really? Blah, 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 this and that. He was basically down to North Carolina and Tennessee from the beginning. If Rick Barnes wants you, if North Carolina and Hubert Davis want you, it means that you're a good ball player, and he absolutely is. Averaged 16 points per game, 6 boards. This is the key stat. 46.5% shooting from three. So you talk about an elite three-point shooter that is going to step in right away at North Carolina and have an impact. I love who he is. I love how he fits, and I love what he brings to the Tar Heels. For North Carolina, this has been a couple weeks where you got about as good a news as you possibly could have. The big news, of course, was just a few days ago, RJ Davis. I don't know if he ever even has officially announced it yet, but it has basically been at least insinuated, maybe it's been announced at this point, that he is coming back. 21 points per game, 40% shooting from three. And this isn't to mean anybody, but when you shoot 40% from three in the ACC, you're cut from a different cloth, dude. So he's a little bit of a smaller guard. He is a guy that didn't have great NBA prospects. So he had the COVID year. It kind of made sense for him to consider coming back. So I don't know what else there is to say other than that, you know, big, big, big win for North Carolina. You're bringing back an All-American. But at the guard position, Elliot Cadeau got some meaningful experience this past year as a true freshman, reclassified. I know North Carolina fans, you know, you want him to shoot a little bit better, all this. I get that. I'm not criticizing you. But at the same time, as a true freshman reclassified, averaged 7.5 points, 4 assists per game as a freshman this year, playing 23 minutes a game. Would expect those numbers to increase. Ian Jackson's kind of a combo guard from New York, headed to North Carolina. I mean, that is a nasty 4 of Elliot Cadeau, Ian Jackson, Kate Tyson, who I just mentioned, and RJ Davis. That is a very talented group that I think is going to be able to put up points. And I think they are going to be able to play the system that that Hubert Davis wants, get up and down, score a lot. The defense was much better this year. And I'll tell you this, I think North Carolina is still probably one piece away, but I really like this team. I did my updated top 10 last week. North Carolina was not in it. It was right before RJ Davis came back. But you get RJ Davis, you get Cade Tyson, and you add another big. I think they're waiting maybe to see if any other bigs enter the portal. I think they're looking for one more kind of true center type five guy. I've heard some names. I don't want to speculate. You know, I don't want to. One thing I'll never do on this show, I'll never start just throwing out names that aren't in the portal. But I know they're waiting on a guy or two over these next probably 72 hours as the portal gets set to close. So they still need a center. But you look at the guys that they have. Elliot Cadeau at point. Ian Jackson off the ball. RJ Davis, a 21-point-per-game score. Now you add Cade Tyson to this. I love everything about this, and I love everything and how they are going to play. What I also like, and by the way, I haven't even mentioned Drake Powell, McDonald's All-American, who's really good from Carolina as well. And what I really like, I give Hubert Davis credit for this, right? Is, you know, the North Carolina under Roy Williams, I get it was a different era, whatever. But I just bring it up to very simply say that with North Carolina in the previous regime, in the previous era, Roy Williams was much different. Played, you know, played the two big guys. Hubert Davis has gone away from it, plays the stretch four that can hit threes. We've seen it with Brady Manick. Didn't really work out with Pete Nance, but you get the point. This year, Cormac Ryan was kind of that three-ish guy, Harrison Ingram, etc. But two, on top of that, now you have Cade Tyson to play that role. But what I also like about this North Carolina team is Hubert Davis has found a nice balance of recruiting those McDonald's All-Americans, but also bringing in the veteran guys and keeping veteran guys in his system. Listen, that's the key. There's no secret to this stuff. You need really good talent, but it's really hard year over year over year to bring in 8-9 new guys. This is what Kentucky has struggled with for the last, you know, 6-7 years. I think I saw a quote from John Calipari where he says, I probably should have started over about 5 years ago, you know, and left Kentucky, but neither here nor there. But I bring it up. It's really hard. And so who are the teams that have had success? UConn at the highest level. What have they done? They are a team that had veterans that have developed in the system. They've used the portal. They've used freshmen. This year, UConn had Steph Castle, McDonald's All-American, Cam Spencer transfer. But the foundation of the program was built on guys that have been in the program. You know, same with some of the other schools that have had success. Illinois this year returned a lot, added a portal guy or two to supplement the guys that they already had. You know, North Carolina did a good job this year, but I just give them credit because I do think whether it's through the portal, high school ranks, whatever, really, really, really hard to win if you're flipping over your roster every year. Carolina now, think about next year's team. Elliott Cadeau, experience. RJ Davis, obviously experience on from this year's team. You got a couple other guys. Seth Trimble pulled his name out of the portal a few days ago. He's back. There's a couple other bench guys that are back as well. But now you add two McDonald's All-Americans. You add Ian Jackson, who I think is going to be a star at Carolina. You add Drake Powell, who I think is going to be a star at Carolina. Almost said Drake May, who's also a Tar Heel, but that's not the applicable thing here. You add those guys, but then also on top of that, you're adding high-level transfer guys. Cade Tyson, 6'7", 47% from three, fits in about as perfectly as you can. Producer Matt, do we have any questions before we get out of here? Do we have any questions before we get out of here? No, we've bounced around quite a bit. For producer from Jacob. Okay. It's a great question from Jacob because this is something I've asked my UConn people as well. So we just talked UConn. Rumors are going around. It's from Jacob, the UConn guy. Rumors are going around. UConn is still deciding on taking Kobe Brea, and that they're close on Aiden Mahaney. With Solo Ball being back, there's no shot they take commitments from both, right? So it's funny because I've asked around about this. My understanding is let's work under the assumption that all the guys that we expect to be back will be back. Caravan's coming back, won't enter the NBA draft. Hassan Diarra is coming back, not going to, you know, will use his COVID year. And that there's no weird transfers. Solo Ball, as you mentioned, was a freshman who played a lot early, didn't play as much late. Jalen Stewart is a freshman who really developed late. So let's assume that there's no major portal entries. My thought is yes, they will take one more guy kind of in that Cam Spencer, if you want to call it a shooting guard role, you know, whatever. They have Liam McNeely now. I think it would be one or the other, Mahaney or Brea. Kobe Brea, as I said, the reports are that he is set to visit Kentucky this, you know, in the coming days. So it doesn't appear as though it's a done deal. Don't know if it's solely an NIL thing. You hear all sorts of NIL stuff. You don't know what's true and what's not. But Kobe Brea, of course, is a kid, fifth-year guy, probably maybe the best payday of his career will come this coming year. So you wonder if NIL is a factor. Aiden Mahaney did visit UConn late last week before he went to Kentucky this weekend. And so my hunch to answer Jacob's question is that, yes, they're going to take one or the other unless something very surprising happens. And by the way, if they get neither, I think they are still in the market for a big time guard. All right. I think those are most of the questions. And I still think this chat has devolved into way too much of a, you know what, measuring match between Kentucky and Arkansas fans who just hate each other right now. It's incredible. Tell you what, I do think I am going to get out of here. Do appreciate your support. If you're not subscribed to the Aaron Torres pod, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure that you are subscribed. Also, make sure to rate and review the show. Go ahead, give us a quick 5 stars. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, all that good stuff. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, we are closing in fast on 40,000 subscribers. I remember when I was scraping the barrel to get to 10 or 20 subscribers. Closing in on 40,000 subscribers. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music for the pod. Leave a rating and review. That would be huge. We would appreciate your support on that. Other than that, do think we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Was good to talk a little bit of football. Obviously, there's still roster building season in basketball. So we're going to keep on hitting these stories as long as we can. By the way, I see in the comment section, pressure washing from Sterling, Kentucky versus UConn in the up and coming national championship. I like that. Rainy Day Diva says 40,000 because of UK, Aaron. Listen, we got a lot of Kentucky fans, but we got a lot of Arkansas fans, a lot of UConn fans, a lot of, you know, Colorado. We had a nice little Dion run there in last spring, but we appreciate your support. By the way, who is it here? Slam Tana says UConn's cool, but go Cards. At some point, we got to do the big Louisville conversation because Pat Kelsey is murdering in the portal right now. Chucky Hepburn this past weekend and several others. Appreciate your support. We'll be back. We're going to have plenty of clips. I don't know if we'll do a full show Monday. We'll see what Kentucky has in store. Maybe another full show depending on what they do over the next 24 hours. Time for me to get out of here. Appreciate your support. It is time to go. Shout out to Torrent Craig. Shout out to Rachel, who hates my voice. Shout out to JJ Redick, you F-head. Unblock me, bro. I'll be back. Maybe tomorrow. Probably Wednesday. New Aaron Torres.